The man who wrote the letter knew these people. It's obvious he knew these people. You're going to read things in the next few weeks, if God gives us the next few weeks. You're going to read things that show he had a real up-close personal understanding of what they were going through. It was this kind of understanding. It was this kind of understanding of what kind of challenges they were facing, what kind of hurts they were having, what kind of fears they feared. He writes this letter, and his intent, of course, he's speaking for God. His intent is to help them. That's the right. It's to help. We've got significant numbers of folks that grew up going to church people in here. So I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it in a real blunt. And it's going to sound like an overstatement. It's not an overstatement. The training, the teaching, the influence we've had over years that said our coming together like this was for to praise God is not biblical. Now, we will praise God while we're here. We will praise God in everything we do in here. We came together. The reason God wanted us to come together and collect us together was to find help. The word edify, those church people that know that word edify, that word encourage, that it's all about help. Darla needs help. Andrew needs help. Rex needs help. And I'll talk about mine later, but we need help. Now, some of us come, honest, some of us come having a hard time breathing. Some of us, it was not easy to get here. Some of us had to talk ourselves into it. Some of us had to say, I've got to do this. I need this so bad. I've got to do this. And be honest, that's a real big difference between the way I look at things now and the way I used to look at things. Because now I come looking for help. And I don't have to psych myself up to say, I've got to go. It's, I need to go. I want to go because I need help. But others of us have had relatively simple, good weeks. Really. And that's not a bad thing. You understand? You shouldn't feel bad about that. You ought to thank God for that. Well, I don't know anything about what Darla's talking about. Thank God for that, right? Right? You don't know what that's like? Thank God for that. You don't know what it's like dealing with some addiction. You don't know what it's like dealing with some spouse. Thank God for that. You just come ready to find whatever help you need, but also to share help with those who need it, right? And the man who wrote this letter is trying to help us do that. You got it? Chapter 3. He's going to have a straight statement to them. He said, I want you people to fix your thoughts. Look at it so you know I'm not making it up. Holy brothers, that's us. We share in a heavenly calling, that's us. Underline that next phrase. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Now, yeah, but you don't understand. I had some real struggles this weekend that made me mean. I felt mean toward people, and I was going to be mean to people, and I didn't want to communicate with anybody. Have we heard that this morning? Yep. And I thought, how does she know how I'm feeling this weekend? Yeah. Where do we fix our thoughts? Fix our thoughts on Jesus. Not on our messes. Not on our mistakes. Not on our troubles. Where do we fix our thoughts? And if we fix our thoughts on Jesus, now don't get all churchy on me. Stay in this letter. They're reading this letter. These are words from God for them. I think for us too. To fix your thoughts on Jesus means when you think about Jesus, you're going to think, He upholds me by the word of His power. And He's not ashamed of me. You're brokenhearted because you messed up this weekend. You just feel worn out. You feel on edge, Jesus is not ashamed of you. And you don't know what's going on in your family. You don't know what's going on with the way people are reacting to you. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. And what are you going to hear? When you fix your thoughts on Jesus, what are you going to think? What are you going to understand? What are you going to know? Jesus is there to help. I don't know. Do we know what the issue is here that Darla talked about? We don't know. We don't know that there's anything we can do to change it. We don't know that they'll even let Jesus change it, right? But what do we know? This is not, don't get churchy on me. Jesus can help. Jesus is going to help us. Jesus is going to help us. Guys, I don't know. This old stuff I've been going through, I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know what's coming of it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know when it's going to pass. I'm just ready for it to pass. I know this, though. I've got help. Whether anybody else helps me or not, and that's not true. There are other people that help. But even if there's nobody else that helps, guess what? He is my help. So focus our thoughts on Jesus. Underline it. Now I want you to repeat it with me. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Real easy. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Y'all are being really lazy. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Folks, it's not easy always, but it is simple, right? When you get caught up in your anxiety about all those things that you can't control, when you get up in all those that fear, you're afraid of what the consequences are going to be, when you get that feeling of embarrassment or shame, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Make sure you keep your thoughts off of all those things and you fix your thoughts on Jesus. He is the apostle and high priest whom we confess. There's significance to those words. Apostle means he was the one that God sent to us. God sent him to us. It means must mean God wanted him here with us, not being ashamed of us. Must have been here that God, mean that God wanted us to be here so he could help us. So I fix my thoughts on Jesus, the one that God sent to me, and high priest, significance of high priest. He's the one that's going to take me back to God. He's going to take me back to God right through that temple, right through that veil of that temple. It's going to get me into the very presence of God. Jesus is going to do that. Oh. Yeah, but I've done things that I'm ashamed of. I've done things that make me feel guilty. I've done things that make people not... Fix your thoughts on Jesus. He's not ashamed of me. He's already paid for my sins. He right now wants to bring me back into the presence of God. So fix my thoughts on Jesus. Now real quick, what would happen if you did that? If we would learn this, if we would just obey the Bible, and I know what we've done. There's enough church people here to understand this. You know what we've done when people would talk to us about obeying the Word? What was the emphasis? When somebody said, we need to obey the Word. I'm just pointing to women. I don't want to point to men. They'll hit me. We need to obey the Word. What were we talking about? Honest, 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 honest. Commandments like what we call in here church rules. The big commandments were about things that there weren't really commandments. Right? Honest, right? Now, the commandment from Jesus to be baptized is, right, you obey that commandment. That's right. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those rules that we developed for our functioning of our churches, that some of them had no commands, but there were examples and necessary inferences. That's a word used we grew up with. How about this? How about we obey the... You all in for obeying the Bible? You all in for obeying Jesus? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. And I'm not speaking ill or negative. And anybody that says otherwise needs to talk to me about it personally instead of whining about it in little groups. Come talk to me about it personally. All I have is respect for the people that taught me the Word of God. And I continue to teach some of those same truths and honor them. But what, and so I'm not speaking negatively of that at all. I'm just saying, if we're so gung-ho on obeying the Word, why don't we obey this one? And let's keep our thoughts off of all the other stuff that's wrong with other people. Because I've spent way too much time figuring out what's wrong with everybody else. I've spent a little bit, way too much time trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And finally, the list just got so long I had to give up. So guess what Jesus wants me to do? Fix my thoughts on Jesus. God sent Him to me, and so He could take me back to Him. Right? And then He says, He was faithful. He was faithful to the one that appointed Him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Hang on, you need to note that, because Jesus is more important than Moses. We already knew that, but the folks that were reading this the first time were having second thoughts. And just as the builder of the house is greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by somebody, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what it should be in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Now, just for fun, on cue. Christ is faithful over God. That means Jesus is greater than angels. And Jesus is greater than Moses. So when you're going to have several of these all the way through this letter, and guess what He's trying to convince us of? Jesus is great. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is superior. Jesus is the best. He is the best. He's got the best promises. He's got the best church. He's got the best love. He's got the best sacrifice. He's got the best promise. Jesus does. So where do you think our focus ought to be? Where do you think our thoughts ought to be? Where do you think our minds and hearts ought to be? Fixed. Fixed on Jesus. How do you fix something on Jesus? Nail it down. Put it in old John was the nail it down. Nail it down. I need to keep my thoughts on Jesus and not let this other stuff get in the way. Keep reading. And we are His house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Now that's number one. I want you to circle that one. That's number one. If you and I are going to fix our thoughts on Jesus, here's one of the consequences. We hold on to our courage. We hold on to our hope. Do you hold on to your hope even when you've made mistakes? You should. But what happens? When you mess up, y'all, when you mess up, and you mess up in a way that everybody knows you messed up, it's a different... Now, sometimes you'll feel it when you mess up and nobody knows it. Sometimes you'll feel that way when you mess up and nobody knows it. Sometimes you feel that way when you mess up and nobody knows it. But I tell you what, when you mess up and everybody knows it, what happens to your courage? It's gone. Because you don't know how somebody's going to react to you. Do you know how Jesus is going to react to you? Yes, He's not ashamed of you. He'll run to you for help. So fix your thoughts on Him, right? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. What happens to your hope when you mess up and people know about it? What happens to your hope? It's gone. Because He surely can't love me. He surely can't forgive me. He surely won't this time. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, and what do you see Him say? How many times do you want to say it? I'm not ashamed of you. I know you're embarrassed. I know you're ashamed, but I'm not ashamed of you, He says. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. So you people that are serious about, I'm going to obey the Bible, I'm going to obey God's Word, I'm going to obey the Lord, then let's get on it. Let's quit worrying about some of those rules we've made, and let's start obeying that word. Fix your thought on Jesus. Hang on to that. Put a nail on it. Fix it. And when you mess up, hang on to your hope. Hang on to your courage. Now keep reading. He's going to quote from a place in Deuteronomy and then a place in Psalms. And if those of us who know the Old Testament will remember what he's talking about here. But he said, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As you did in the day of the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested me and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. How far do you have to push? How far do you have to push a God for him to finally get so mad as to say, you'll never enter my rest? I can't imagine. How do you keep from doing that? Look at the next phrase. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's number two. Number one, you hold on to your courage. You fix your thoughts on Jesus and you hold on to your courage. You hold on to your hope. Number two, you make sure that you don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, I got to talk just a second, and I don't want to belabor the... Let me rethink what I was going to say. I don't care if I belabor the point. I started to apologize. I don't care, because this one is serious. If he gives me a command, don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart, what do I know? What does that imply? That I have the ability to do that. I can determine what my heart believes. I can determine what my heart believes. Now, folks, some of us grew up in a world that says otherwise, and some of us have been influenced by a religious culture, quote, spiritual culture right now, that's almost making it the heart more important than I don't know what, everything. But the truth is, you're in control of your heart. You get to decide. You get to determine if your heart is sinful and unbelieving. Well, somebody says, yeah, but in my heart, I just don't feel. You didn't hear him say feelings. Did you hear him say feelings? Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not, well, I just don't feel like I have much hope. Hope is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. You get to decide. When your emotions are just screaming at you, you're no good, you're not worthy, nobody cares, you got no hope. Your heart, you decide. I will not yield to that heart. I will not have that kind of heart in me. I'm not going to let that be the case. So what do? This one's real easy. What do? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Put a nail in it. I don't know what else is going on in the world. I don't know what's going on in me. And I don't right now. I don't know what's going on in me. But I know this. Jesus is not ashamed of me. He'll come and help me. And he sits right now at the right hand of God waiting for me to get there. Can I hold on to that thought? And if I do I have hope? And will I turn away from a living God? Not a chance, folks. Not a chance. And I've said it. This is the right time to say it, though, because this was what was a part of what was going on in the church in Hebrews, and it's also what's part of what's going on in my heart. Guys, I love you. I do. I enjoy being with you. But if you decided that you were upset with me and didn't want to have anything to do with me ever again, guess what? I'm going to heaven whether you like it or not. In fact, I'm going to go just to spite you. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to let Jesus get me there, because it'll take Jesus to get me there. And then when he gets me there, I'm going to walk right up to you and kiss you right on the face. I'm not giving up on Jesus. I don't care what is said. I don't care what is done. You hear me? And I want us to have that same spirit. I don't care what happens. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. That's not what matters. What matters is... This one's a real easy answer. What's the best answer, Michael? Always. What is the easiest answer, Kelly? Always.
Jesus.
I heard it in stereo. Yeah, Jesus. You just fix your thoughts on Jesus, all right? Now look at the next verse. And we're going to study it, but we're not going to practice it until we tie a knot. But you encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today. Hang on. No, we'll come back. Finish the verse, Rex. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Is there a deceitfulness of sin that can harden your heart? Yeah. So to keep that from happening, do I have to take some responsibility? Yeah. I got to fix my thoughts on Jesus. I got to hold on to my courage and hold on to my hope. And I got to make sure that I don't turn away from that living God because of an unbelieving heart. But what else do I do? I encourage one another. And we're going to talk about encourage in a second. But I need you to see that phrase. How often do you encourage? Daily. So long as it is called today. How long is it called today? Today. And every day's today. So when I woke up today, what word from Jesus did I have? What commission, what command, what church house rule did Jesus give me today? Encourage my brothers. Encourage each other. Now hang on a second. All of us who are these people, I stand alone with the Word of God. How about standing on this one? Instead of fussing about everything, instead of picking folks apart, instead of whining, why don't we get serious about obeying that one? Well, I'm not for sure I like the way that brother preached that sermon. I'm not sure I like the way that person led those songs. I'm not for sure I like the way those elders programmed that program and those deacons deked their deek. I don't know. Do we not just get weird sometimes? Well, we're weird all the time here, but you know what I mean? Do we just get, what's wrong with us, right? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Put a nail in it. Hang on to your hope. Don't let go. Make sure your heart doesn't turn away from God. And then give yourself every day, as long as it's called today, to encouraging somebody. Now, there's some people in here that would drive miles out of the way. Disrupt a vacation. Make special arrangements to make sure they ate the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. I love that kind of respect. I love that kind of devotion. Guess what? Same God that taught us anything about the supper gave us this command. Well, I went to church on Sunday and I shook a brother's hand. I shook her hand. Brother, God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. I encouraged you. Have I told you that story, right? About the guy that was going to encourage me. And he walked up to me and he said, "Brother, I want to encourage you." I thought, oh, cool. And he said nothing. I promise. He said nothing. Nothing. He talked about the weather or something. I'm all ready. Because, guys, if anybody wants to encourage me, I'm in. I need it. He said nothing. And he said, "Well, I just wanted to encourage you." Okay. Let's take that. Let's say just encouraging is the way you encourage. Just saying the word. Encourage, 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 encourage. Have you done that? Have we done that? I have not done that. I made sure I ate the Lord's Supper. I made sure I sang with melody in my heart. I made sure I prayed by the authority and name of Jesus. And I'm not making light of any of those instructions. Do you hear me? There's no disrespect there at all. Devotion to all those. Yes. But am I daily seeking a way to encourage a brother or sister? I can't imagine how tough it must have been for these folks and how easy it is for us, and why we don't do it, I don't understand. Why would we use an incredible tool like Facebook to tear people down when we could use it to build people up? Why would we ever use these silly phones for anything other than letting our brothers, sisters know that we're on their side, that we're not ashamed of them? We're not ashamed of them either. And that we would come to their cry for help. Wouldn't that make sense? If we're going to follow Jesus, wouldn't it make sense if we follow Jesus? I got to hush. There are all kinds of things that are going to distract us. There's all kinds of things that are going to discourage us. There's all kinds of things that are going to disappoint us, depress us. We can't change any of those things. We live in a world that's hell-bent. So what do? Somebody tell me, just so you, before I go Old Testament on you, what do? Focus on Jesus. Fix our thoughts on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Rethink Jesus. Consider Jesus. Depending on what your version says, I'm fine. Just put a nail in it, folks, and hang on to that. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to fix that to that place. And make sure that I don't lose sight of that. So I'm going to hold on to my hope no matter what I do or what you do. I'm going to make sure that I don't let my heart turn away from a living God. I'm going to take responsibility for that. And I'm going to try every day, to put courage in my brother, in my sister, every day, at least as long as it's called today, right? Finish the reading and then I'll hush. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end of the confidence we had at first. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit. It does not matter what they say. It does not matter what they do. It does not matter how you feel. It does not matter how you don't feel. And some of you understand what I mean by that. You hold on to your confidence. You hold firmly to that confidence that you had in that moment when you confessed your faith in Jesus and you were born into God's family and your sins were washed away and the Spirit of God came into you and you began to walk in a new life. You hold on to that courage. You hold on to that heart. You hold on to that truth.